In a nutshell, what is CFROS?
Well, it stands for Carbon Dynamics, Food Web Structure, and Reclamation Strategies in Athabasca Oil Sands Wetlands. So carbon dynamics talks about how materials move from one part of the food web to the other. That's the carbon, the plants and the detritus, the non-living part, to living and non-living organisms as well. The food web is how these things flow, what eats what. And the idea is that because of functioning wetland depends on all of these, if we want to build a new one, we have to understand how that carbon moves through the food web.
So over the last 5 years, as you've worked through this project, what exactly have you done?
We've studied a series of existing wetlands that are in the landscape that were built right at the very start of the oil sands reclamation project to see, can things be done? And in our 16 wetlands, we made sure we had some young, some older, some that had been built with oil sand waste materials, and some that had none, that formed naturally, and still others to which to try and speed up the system, some topsoil or peat was added to try and make it look more like a natural wetland. So we contrasted the food webs of those 16 different food webs.
And you had quite a significant number of students and researchers working on this.
Well, we recognized that it was a very big project, and we really wanted to study the whole food web, and this needs very different expertise. So the five profs, principal investigators, had different expertise, and we each had a number of grad students to each take a little bit of it.
And you were also looking at pretty well everything from little bugs in the water and in the ground to birds that were flying through the air. Why such a wide range?
Because that's what makes up the whole food web. Many of us have interest in the bugs in the bottom, but if you ask the public what makes a wetland, well, it's the plants and the birds and the frogs. And they can only persist if they feed on the bugs and the invertebrates that's there. That's why we needed all of those components.
Well, the collaboration, the project now has wound up. You're at the end of the 5 years. What are the take-home messages?
Probably that we still need a lot of time to analyze the data and get it published, but we can see the trends. Well, these were the first attempts to build anything, and they were built like clay bathtubs, and we know that the shape of the wetland is very important, and that you just can't fill something with water and expect it to function normally. We know that a normal wetland has gently sloping sides, and it's a transition from being always underwater to being wet all the time to being wet some of the time. Each of those areas has a different set of plants and different invertebrates. It's important to have that architecture there to get a normal food web. It makes lots of sense after the fact. We also know that a wetland has to be big enough to collect water from the dry land around it if we're going to have it sustainable. Not only that, because constructed wetlands that use mine tailings materials have lots of salt, which is natural, but concentrated because of recycling the water during mining, and also naphthenic acids, one of the other natural products that's concentrated. We need to get closer to fresh water before we're going to get a rapidly functioning food web. That means things have to be diluted eventually, and so the size of the surrounding landscape has to be big enough to sustain that, and we've discovered that. Not only ourselves, but other people working as things have gone along.
Is there any sense of convergence? At some point in the future, are you going to be able to say we can't tell the difference between what was constructed and what was natural?
Things are getting more similar, but they're still very different. We built these wetlands, well, they were built. The very oldest ones in the whole area are maybe 30 years old. Most of the ones we've studied are up to 20 years old. If you think about a forest, you don't call it a forest until it's 30, 40, 50 years old. These natural wetlands have built up over thousands of years. I mean, the peat, 30, 60, 90 centimeters thick, peat grows at a few millimeters per year. So to expect to see a natural wetland in the period of time we've had is really asking a lot. But we see some trends in the right direction, still many major differences.
What would be some of those differences?
Well, we don't have a natural bird population, but again, if you think, where do birds roost? Ducks do fine, but if you have birds that nest in trees or in shrubs, if they haven't had time to grow, they're not going to be there. So that community is different. We're finding, because the water is still salty in many of these things, that affects the species of plants and animals that can live there. And although the saltiness is gradually going down, it's still above what we consider to be the levels where everything in a freshwater wetland can survive. But they're similar to what we see in salty prairie potholes, perhaps. So we're getting close to that sort of system.
What are the things that industry can do now based on the research that you have done? How can this knowledge be translated into action for industry?
They've been following what we've done. We've been reporting at this meeting every year since we started. And as the companies start to go from those first trials to full-size wetlands, like Suncor has the Wapasu Marsh and a new fen. St. Croix's about to fill up a new area called Sandhill Fen. And these are using a lot of the findings we've had already. So many of our recommendations have already been integrated and are going into the next phase of the reclamation process.
What do you see as being the gaps in knowledge?
Well, again, when we started, we were studying ponds or bathtubs, and we devoted most of our energy there. Now that we realize how important the plants around the wetland are, we have to devote a little bit more energy to studying the transfers there. And these areas are hard to sample. If you're used to scooping up water and you're dealing with a soggy field, the sampling methods have to be a little bit different.
Is there a sea frost too on the horizon?
We're going to spend the next year probably taking our scientific findings and translating them, the process we call technology transfer, to create a new manual for how to create a wetland. And we're not going to start on CFRA 2 if we do until we get to that point. But we're continuing to work with the companies. We're all involved with these new large scale things. Once the questions become a little more focused, we may have a CFRA 2.
Thank you very much, Jan.
Thanks very much for asking me about these questions.